Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are going to be learning Eicha Perek Beis, the second chapter in the book of Eicha. This Perek, much like most of the Prakim in Eicha, is 22 Psukim, and it is alphabetical, each Pasuk starting with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The topic seems to be the anger of Hashem against Israel. In fact, the first Pasuk starts with the word anger, Eicha Yoiv Ba'apoi, the word apoi meaning the anger of Hashem. And the last pasuk goes Tikra Kayom Bayom Ayin Mugurai Misaviv Lo Hoya Bayom Af Hashem Polid Vesarit. On the day of the anger, the wrath of Hashem, there were no refugees. Our parak can be divided roughly into three sections, and we're going to look at each of these independently. The first nine psukim, Aleph Tetes, are describing the destruction of the kingdom Yerushalayim and the Migdash. The second section is psukim Yud to Yud Zayin. It's really a lamentation, a kina on the Churban independently. And Pesukim Yud Ches to Chof Beis, 18 to 22, is the last section, which is essentially a prayer. Let's take a look at each one independently, with its own summary, and look at one Pasuk in focus in each section. Let's take a look at the first section. The first section for the first nine Pesukim of this Perek describe the destruction of the kingdom of Israel, Jerusalem, and the Mikdash. It's worth all noting that the fall of the Migdash has many different synonyms in this section. It's called Migdash, Hadom Raglov, that's the so to speak, his footstool, Oil Bastion, the tent of the daughter of Zion, Moadoi, his meeting place, Mizbechoi, his altar, Mikdashoi, his sanctuary, Beis Hashem, the house of God. All of these terms are being used to describe the utter destruction that has occurred. It's also interesting to notice that the anger of Hashem is mentioned almost in every single pasuk in this section. Eicha yoiv ba'apoi, horas be'evrosoi, goda b'chori af, shafach ke'esh chamosoi, vayinatz b'zam apoi. These are all words of anger. What's being described over here is the unmitigated, the undissolved anger and wrath of Hashem as it expresses itself in the destruction that the author is witnessing. As Jeremiah is describing this, he is describing not simply a downturn in the economy, he's not just describing an unfortunate chain of events, he is describing something where Hashem is clearly targeting, clearly is orchestrating this should happen in this destructive way. There are many terms of destruction. One which seems to recur a number of times in this section is Bila, which means to swallow. So it's not as if it's just crumbling, it's completely being consumed. The descriptions of Hashem are sometimes actively causing the destruction and sometimes allowing the enemy in. What is striking is that two times in this section, Hashem is described like the enemy. Darach kashtoi koyev, he drew his bow like the enemy. And hoyo Hashem keoyev, in Pasuk Hey, Hashem was like the enemy. Those are very severe descriptions. Obviously, he's not the enemy, but he's ke'oyev, like the enemy, in the way that he is destroying the nation of Israel. And finally, there's a description of the lack of leadership in the wake of destruction, the destruction of the melech v'kohen, the king and the priest, and malkov v'sareo v'goyim en Torah, her king, her princes were exiled, gam nevi'eo lo motzu chazon, even the prophets found no vision. Very, very severe. This is much more intense than even the first chapter of Eicha. The pasuk that we're going to focus on is the last pasuk of the section, and that is pasuk Tes. It reads the following, and we have to think to ourselves, how do all these pieces match up? Tavu ba'aretz sha'area, her gates or her walls sank into the land, ibad v'shibar b'richeho, that her bars were broken into bits, malka v'sareo b'goyim, Ein Torah. Her kings, her leaders are in exile. There's no more teaching. There's no more Torah. Gam nevi'eo lo motzu chazon me'Hashem. Even her prophets found no vision from Hashem. What's being described over here? What does it mean that the gates are sunk into the ground? Rashi explains very simply. Is because when the Aaron, when the Ark of the Covenant came into Yerushalayim, the gates gave honor. The su'ush arim rasheichem, the actual gates themselves, opened up in respect to the Aaron. They, therefore, were not destroyed, but were swallowed by the ground. They sank down, complete, as opposed to crumbled. And that's one way. The Chazal also say is because they were made by David. Ma'asa yedei David are you. And therefore, they were not going to be weakened or destroyed themselves. That's the first part of the Pasuk. The second part of the Pasuk, if we look at the Aramaic translation of it, when it describes Malkovah Sareah Bagoyim En Torah, the way it's translated in Aramaic, I'm translating from English, the Aramaic from English, is her kings and her leaders were exiled between the nations because they did not keep the Torah. Al deloi notaru piskome araiso. So when Riz says en Torah, is that the reason why they were exiled? These seem to be two very separate ideas. How are they connected? So Al-Sheikh, in his commentary on Sefer Iyov, which is called Devarim Nichumim, says a very beautiful idea. He says, if you read this perek, another way of reading this entire perek is a dialogue between Israel and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Divine Spirit. And Israel's asking, how could this happen? And the Divine Spirit responds, the Ruach HaKodesh responds, this is why it happened. And this passage, the same dialogue occurs. B'nai Israel say, wait a second. Tavu ba'aretz sha'rea. The gates sank into the ground because they paid minimal respect to the Aaron, and they were not destroyed. But then, how could it be, Malkova Saraba Goyim? How could it be that even the great leaders who represented Torah are now exiled if the gates were simply swallowed and not destroyed? So the answer that the pasuk gives, the Ruach HaKodesh gives, is Ein Torah. Even what they represented was false. It was from the lips outwards, it wasn't in the heart. They weren't the people they are professing to be. That's what's going on over here. What a shocking insight. Let's move on to the second section. The second section again runs from Sukkim Yud to Yud Zayin. And this is a lamentation. It's a kinna on the destruction. The way to understand this is that as opposed to up to now has been a description, it's now reaching out to people and an active call upon people to cry and mourn the tragedy. So there's a call to Yeshu al-Aritz Yidmul Zignei Bastiyot, sit on the ground. Don Sekloch, Chagru Sakim, clap hands in despair, Sofku Alayich Kapayim. Meaning, you have to actively, the reader is being called upon to react to this destruction. And the voice describes the shock and devastation that the author sees of Yerushalayim. How abrupt it has been, how terrifyingly devastating it has been. And in fact, not only do those who love Yerushalayim see this, but even those who are the enemies look at it and jeer at it. Sofku alai kapayim kol avrei darech. Sharku vayanu roshom potzu alai piyem kol avayich. Your enemies are opening up their mouths and jeering at Yerushalayim because they see the destruction. Our pasuk in focus right now is going to, again, the last pasuk in the section, which is pasuk Yud Zayin, and here's how it reads. Asa Hashem asher zamam. God did what he planned. Bitsa em rasoi, he exacted his words, asher tzivom yimei kerem, which he commanded from days of yore. Haras v'loi chomal, he destroyed without any mercy. Vayesamach olayich oyev herimu keren tzarayich, and your enemies proclaim victory, your enemies rejoiced over you as they raised their banner. So what's interesting is when is it that Hashem promised this to happen? It's saying from the days of yore this was promised. When was this promised? Rashi and all the Mefarshim point us back to Parshas Bechukosai. Hashem says, V'yosafti li yasroi eschem sheva achat oschem. If you carry on sinning, I'm going to bring it back sevenfold on you. And now it is unfolding. Now it is happening. How exact is what's happening now to what was described in Bechukosai? Is it 100%? Is it 80%? Is it 120% of what was promised in Bechukosai? So the Torah Tzimima quotes a Medrash over here, the Medrash Rabbah, who says, in the name of Rabbi Zera, a very beautiful statement, that if you look at the word Bitsa, which can mean to perform, to exact, Bitsa can also mean to split in half, to compromise. And the Medrash says that Bitsa Ebras Emrasai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gave us a smattering. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gave us a fraction of what he had planned to really give. So as terrifying as this is, I understand that this is not the full measure, perhaps, of what we are even liable for. We move to the third and last section. The first section was a description. The second section was a kinna, a lamentation, a call to people to lament. The third section is a prayer. This now turns to two different audiences in this last section, Psukim Yud Ches to Chof Beis, a call to Israel to reach out to Hashem. Kumi, roini balayla, ratzak li bomel Hashem, call out to God. But it's also a call to Hashem to heed the suffering. Re'ei Hashem v'abita, lemi olalto. Look at this. Women are eating their flesh of their children. How could this be? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have mercy. And there's a certain element of acceptance of guilt here. In Yareb Mikdash Hashem, Kohen v'Navi, that a priest and a prophet were killed. The Mikdash of Hashem refers to a specific incident in which Zachariah Kohen, not Zachariah the Navi, but Zachariah Kohen, who lived in the times of the first place of Mikdash, was on Yom Kippur just giving a sharp rebuke to the people. The people didn't like the drasha, and they killed him. They stoned him on the spot there. In fact, if you go to down to Nachal Kidron today, outside the Shar HaShpot in Yerushalayim, you go down the bottom of the valley, the very bottom of the Har HaZeitim, there are two monuments, two large monuments. One's called Yad Avshalom and one's Yad Zachariah. Yad Zachariah is where this prophet Zachariah was buried after he was murdered on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash. It said, the Midrash describes that his blood went into the ground and continued to boil. There was a restitution being sought. And when Nevuzadron came, the Sarat Abachim, the chief of the army, came of the Babylonians, he saw the blood was boiling and he thought that needed restitution. He slaughtered people, numerous people on the spot to see if he could bring the blood to rest, and it didn't. And finally, they told him that it was the blood of Zechariah, and he slaughtered even more people. And ultimately, what this comes down to is that where was this all coming from? There's a certain acceptance, acknowledgement that we ourselves kill the people who are trying to tell us off. What a terrifying idea. Pasuk in focus from this section, and we will conclude with this, is Kumi Roni Balala Barosh HaShmurais. Wake up and call, sing at night at the top of the watches. Shivchi Kamayim Ribeich Necha Pene Hashem. Pour out your heart like water in front of Hashem. Si'i Eleich Kapayich Al Nefesh Al Alayich Atofim Barav Barosh Kol Chutzos. Cry for those who are suffering in starvation in all places. What's this referring to? Halacha, interesting halacha. The Rambam tells us in Mishnah Torah based on the Gemara, there's an importance to wake up at night and learn Torah. There's importance to learn, to make sure there's Torah being learned at night as well. Another halacha, the Shulchan Aruch Rav tells us, quoting the Zohar, that there's importance of waking up at Tikkun Leil, at the Chatzos, at the midnight of night, and crying for the Beis HaMikdash, because that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying for it as well. It's the time of the beginning of the Rachamim, when the light is turned over. The imagery of the Shivchi Kamayim Libeich, of the water, spilling the water of our hearts, is because, as the Shlo HaKadosh points out in a very powerful image, is that Teshuvah is like water. Teshuvah is the human being is able to turn, is able to reshape their life like water. Water can take very negative furrows and create tremendous destruction when it's not guided correctly. But when it is reapplied, when it is guided into the correct furrows, into the correct pathways, it can bring tremendous blessing. We have that capacity, Shivchi Kamayim Libeich, if we're willing to turn our hearts, if we are to reshape the containers and the waters of our hearts, and then turn it out, ultimately we will gain, God willing, restitution. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.